You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. Both the episodes of the Tiger Woods documentary have now been released, and from what I'm seeing, it's getting very mixed reviews. Now, some people expected that the documentary was going to give more of a positive outlook on Tiger. And I think from what I'm seeing, people are saying that it is highlighting maybe more of the scandalous and more of the kind of negative parts about Tiger's career. And I think this is a big difference from the Jordan documentary. And I think probably one of the main differences is just that based off of what I'm hearing, I don't think Tiger was really involved in this documentary, where Jordan he wrote everything. He did every single part of the documentary, I'm assuming, was curated by Jordan, because that's just kind of how he would do it, I'm imagining. So I think in the future, we may see a documentary about Tiger Woods that highlights more of the positives in his career. And I think that's kind of the main mixed review part of it that I'm seeing, at least online, is that people are saying that they think it's a little bit more negative than it should be. And I also don't necessarily think that it, I don't, what I'm, I think that he has had a pretty wild career, if you really look back at it, kind of all the scandals and kind of all this stuff. I think he, unlike, and I think Jordan also has had some scandals, but not to the level of Tiger Woods. I think the rise and fall and rise again of Woods is one of the craziest stories, I think, really, in the history of sports. You know, going from one of the youngest Masters champions to continuing his rise into golf allure and being one of the most popular, most successful golfers of all time, and then kind of going through some scandals like the stuff that happened with his, I think it was ex-wife, and then some of the other kind of weird stories that have come out of him, like doing like military training and stuff like that. And I think that going forward, documentaries are going to be, they're going to affect sports cards for sure. And I think we've seen that with the Jordan documentary and this Tiger Woods documentary. The Tiger Woods maybe a little bit more than the Jordan cards, because I think the Jordan cards were kind of already in a trajectory of going up. And I think if you look back in time about a year ago from now, there still wasn't, the release date of the Jordan documentary, I don't think, had been changed at this point. So the Jordan documentary wasn't supposed to come out until August of 2020, which ended up getting released in April, which I think actually wasn't a great thing. I think they kind of rushed the ending of the documentary. I think they could have, I think that extra 6 months or extra 4 or 5 months that they could have used for that documentary would have made it a lot better. Because in my opinion, I think the Jordan documentary was good, but I don't think it was phenomenal. Like, I think it really had the chance to highlight his legacy, and I think it highlighted a lot of the good things. And I don't know. I just think that having that extra 3 or 4 months of the editing of that documentary for the Jordan one would have made the overall documentary a lot better. And I think, like I said, with documentaries, this is something that I've been thinking about even before the Jordan documentary, was like 30 for 30s and just other sports documentaries. Like, these are the way that people are going to learn about sports. Like, these documentaries are how people are going to view sports in the future. So, you know, some good 30 for 30s that I like. I like the Brian Boswell one. I like the Bo Jackson one. I don't know if there's any that I really don't necessarily like. I'm sure if you were to go through the hundreds that there are, there's probably one or two that I could point out and be like, I didn't really like that one. But I think that, well, so I thought that those documentaries will have an effect on sports cards, and I've sort of shifted my opinion there, where I think it's maybe more going to affect future documentaries, and the past documentaries aren't going to have as much of an effect. But at the same time, I just, like I said, I think that people are going to learn about Brian Boswell. The only reason they would know who that person is if they saw the 30 for 30 documentary, which at the same time, like, if that's just on TV, like, somebody who is even my age that doesn't know who he is 28-year-old or a 21-year-old, like, they're not just gonna, unless they just love watching sports documentaries, that's not really one that, if they don't know who that person is, they're not just gonna sit there and watch. Now, granted, that one is one of the highest rated 30 for 30s. So I think maybe somebody may look at all of those 30 for 30s that are rated and say, well, this one's high, I'm going to watch it. And that could be a reason why you see the cards themselves go up, which I actually bought some of his Topps rookies. I forget exactly what year they were back in the day. Now, I haven't really kept up on his prices at all, so I don't know necessarily what they are. But I also think if you want to look back, and I'm going to go back to the Jordan documentary really quickly. If you look back at that Jordan documentary and when it was released, or when it was the release date was coming out, that was sort of right around when Corona was all getting started. And I think that was actually the reason why they pushed up the documentary, was because they wanted the documentary to come out early. Actually, I guess that was the reason. I don't know if they came out fully and said that was the reason, but it was kind of interesting the way that everything all happened. And the next thing you know, they're releasing the Jordan documentary early. So I don't know, maybe it could have been already done and they're just saying, why wait until August, just release it now. I'm not 100% sure about that. But either way, I think another thing that people need to put into perspective is how many of these cards there are. And just these Tiger Woods cards came out of it was a 2001 Upper Deck. And there's a ton of these cards. Like, I was reading an article by Otias, I forget exactly how to pronounce it, but he was saying he wrote an article for Beckett back in the day, or an article was written about him, I forget which way it was, but he said that he opened almost 7,000 cases of this product, and he sold almost 50,000 of these cards. Now, if you look at the Pop Report is going to tell you that there are over 21,000 total cards graded of this card, and there's over 9,000 PSA 10s. So to kind of put that into a little bit of perspective, if we're comparing that card to like Luka and Zion, for example, I think with Luka, there are roughly around 14,000 PSA 10s, and then with Zion, there's roughly around 15,000 PSA 10s. So this is a card from 2001. So think about that. Like, think about how many of these cards there really are. And I think that's why we saw kind of such a fluctuation in pricing. And that's kind of that's one of the main points I want to get out of this specific video and topic on the podcast. So if you look back last March, and this is something, again, that I was talking about, I think I came out with a podcast back in March that was talking about Tiger Woods, Serena Williams, and Mike Tyson cards. And one of the cards, obviously, was this 2001 Upper Deck Tiger Woods card that I have here and that I'm talking about. So back in March, when I first came out with this original podcast, the cards were around $120, $120 for a PSA 10. So that kind of went up throughout 2020. That card kind of steadily went up. And then in October, that card sat around $280. And then in December, when the documentary was announced, that card shot up to $1,500 for a PSA 10. Now it's back to around $600, $590, kind of depending on which prices you're looking at. And I think we're still a few weeks away from really having a solid price on this card, and a price that I think long-term will sustain itself. And I don't know if it's going to drop below 300 or 400 back to, or if it's going to go back to where it was, but I think long term, I'm definitely a believer in this card because it's like the GOAT. Like, Tiger obviously is one of the best golfers of all time, if not the best. I guess you could argue that he may be the best. Like, I think golf is interesting because it's an individual game, so it's like if that one person isn't performing, then there's no one else they can really blame. Like, you know, Jordan obviously going to the finals six times, winning six times, he was definitely one of the main factors, but there were so many other players that had huge effects on those championship runs for the Bulls. But for golf, there really isn't anybody else that you can look at and say, I mean, you could say like people played bad, but like that's not exactly, I don't think that's a good representation of how well Tiger played. So like I said, he is one of the GOATs, and I think we're a few weeks away from these cards being what they will be for a while, maybe until Tiger retires, because look, there's still so many moments for Tiger, and this is kind of one of the big tips, I think, when you're looking at either vintage or you're looking at players of legends or veterans, is you want to look at how many opportunities that player is going to have in the future to have some sort of a card jump. It's the same when you're prospecting, I guess you could look at it that way as well. Like, for a prospect, making it to the majors, playing well in the majors, getting called up. Like, those are all specific moments, or winning Rookie of the Year. Those are all specific moments that those prospects have for their cards to jump up. And I think you want to look at it similarly with, like, a Tiger Woods card. Or I get LeBron, I guess you could put in this conversation, his cards have been going up as well. But with Tiger, you know, he's going to retire. He'll probably get inducted into the Hall of Fame. He may win another Masters. He may win another tournament. Like, there's still, I think, with golf, you can play for so much longer than maybe other sports. So I don't necessarily think he's going to be a dominant force in the sport for that long. But I think that he will be a player that has moments that clearly, like, there may be another documentary that comes out too, like, that he produces that shows how good of a player he was and kind of maybe stays away from some of the more scandalous parts of his career. Like, you know, I think that's kind of where the mixed reviews come in on this documentary, is that maybe there could have been more, or maybe there could have been less of another thing. I think that's just what happens when maybe a player isn't as involved in a documentary as maybe he should be or she should be, depending on who the documentary is about. So those are kind of my overall thoughts on this Tiger card and some of the stuff that I think we can learn from this card, what it's done specifically in its pricing. Something that has come up over the past few years with the rise of soccer cards, and just from the fact that there's been a lot of changes that have come to soccer cards, is actually something that I haven't really heard talked about, and actually a question that I have for everybody out there is, should soccer cards have the RC logo, like the rookie card logo? Now, the rookie card logo, I think, is defined in a bunch of different ways. Like, there are specifics in the MLB, and, you know, you'll see it in, like, basketball and with football. You'll see kind of specifics of when cards do get the RC logo and when they don't. But, like, with a sport like baseball and what Topps has done, they sort of have changed the rules as they come. And as a new player maybe comes through, they've changed sort of when they get their card. This is actually stemming from the fact that Panini just released an Immaculate product, and that Immaculate product actually has rookie card logos for Erling Haaland, Mason Greenwood, and I believe that Ansu Fati also have rookie card logos. So, or have rookie card logos on their cards. Now, Greenwell had rookies from last year and actually got one of his first cards in a top set in 2020 that was part of a Europa League set. Erling Haaland, you may know that he, all throughout 2020, had cards released by Topps and had cards that were didn't have the RC logo. And actually the only card that, like, I talked about this on a previous video last week, I think, and on the podcast last week, I talked about how Erling Haaland, he has a bunch of different cards that are from a lot of different base sets, and I kind of broke down the base sets and which card I think is probably going to be his most important. He actually only has the rookie card logo on the top Sapphire set, which, you know, I'm not 100% sure why they chose to do it that way. I guess it must just be that they knew they wanted to use the rookie card logo at some point in a product this year, and the fact that they knew they were coming out with this top Sapphire, and maybe they hadn't printed the product yet. Like, I think if they hadn't printed the Topps Champions League product, that they probably would have included the rookie card logo in that one. But if I had to guess, they probably already had about half of it produced, because if you remember, that product actually was pushed back a bunch of times. So the release date changed, like, on multiple occasions. Like, I think the original release date was supposed to be in, like, July. And now we're seeing rising of these prices. So we're seeing, like, if you go to any of the big card distributor websites, you'll see that Topps Champions League and then even the Premier League EPL Prism product has also gone up. And I think that is because there may be a Greenwell card in the Premier League Prism set that's going to have the RC logo. Because if you go back, the Chronicles product, which is a 2019-2020 product, had a Contenders card, a Greenwell card, with a rookie card logo on it. Same with Fati. And I think that, I don't know, it's to me, I think there's so many opportunities. And I think that soccer and baseball are very similar in that sense when it comes to prospecting and cards of younger players, and like the company's kind of getting to choose when the rookie card comes out. So, you know, because Topps debuted their new rookie card logo, which actually they didn't even do any type of rollout for, which I thought was kind of interesting because it felt like a pretty big deal that Topps was like coming back with this logo. They didn't really do much rollout. Like, they didn't do much of an announcement. Like, I feel like it should have been like a month or two. Like, they kind of just like released a card with the logo. Like, the Greenwell card, just had the logo, and they had in the past, I think, Marcus Rashford and Kevin De Bruyne, they both had Topps cards. I think it was Stadium Club and then Topps Gold back in the day. Those cards did have the rookie card logo on them. This is a new logo, so if you go back and look at those cards, those were an old logo. But then also an interesting thing that Topps did was they, in the MLS set, see, there's so many different layers to this, and it's kind of hard to decipher what Topps' plan was, or even if they had a plan. But there was a Pitch Prodigies insert in the Topps MLS set, and that had the old rookie card logo. So that makes me almost think that they printed that set a while back, and they were going to include the rookie card logo, and then they realized that they wanted to include it in the new products that were coming out, and that they didn't really have a plan for how they were going to roll out this new logo. Like I said, they didn't really release any type of super huge marketing, which I think it should be a big deal. But like last year, also just debuting the rookie card logo, like the first Panini Prism set that Panini had come out with the rookie card logo was the EPL set from 2019-2020, which I think released, if I'm not mistaken, I think that released in September or November of 2019. That product had their rookie card logo, which for Panini, I think it's interesting because they have a universal rookie card logo going across most of their products, where Topps doesn't really have that. Topps has an MLB rookie logo. They also have the licensing for UFC, so they have a UFC rookie logo. They also have the licensing for WWE, so they have a WWE one, and now they have the soccer one. And I think in the next few years, we're probably going to see a universal, at least I hope they do. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure if they'll do this or not, but from my perspective, I think they should, just because I think it would be I think it would be better just to have a universal logo across all of their cards that are rookies. But so I think it would be cool for Topps to come out with a universal logo. But I think in the past, Topps has kind of shown that they're going to determine, like they do have guidelines. Like for example, like the Yordan Alvarez card from 2020 Series 1 had the rookie card logo, even though he was the 2019 Rookie of the Year. Now, from what I've seen, so Examine Baseball, somebody that I follow on Twitter and TikTok, all these places, and he wrote an article for Forbes kind of breaking that down a little bit, and the article that he wrote essentially was saying that there was a deadline in 2019 that said if you made your debut on X date, you got a rookie card logo, and then Yordan Alvarez came the day after, because I think there was a Cardinals player, I forget the name of the Cardinals player, but he made his debut on May something, and then he was included in Topps update where Alvarez made his debut the day after, and he wasn't included until Series 1. And I think they did something similar with Chris Bryant, I'm pretty sure, where he made his debut 1 year and then he didn't get a card till the next year. So, you know, I think there are rules. Like, I know you have to make your debut before you can get a card, because that's also the reason why, like, Bo Bichette was very similar. He made his debut in 2019, didn't get a card until 2020. But I'm getting off the rails here. I think baseball and soccer are very similar when it's going to come to prospecting, because of the way that they're structured. Now, I don't know if we're going to get, like a youth team product from Topps or Panini. I think that would be kind of interesting, like almost like a Bowman youth team. And I think we have seen sort of we saw a Bowman product within the MLS. So I think that opens the doors for Topps to come out with some sort of Bowman product for either the Champions League, or they don't have the licensing for the EPL, so they wouldn't be able to do EPL. But the one other thing that I thought was kind of interesting was, speaking of licensing, Panini's product came out in 2020. Now, I'm not sure why they really waited for this product, and I think one of the reasons potentially is because there was something with the Bundesliga license that maybe it expired in 2020, or maybe there was a lapse in when Topps owned that, because Topps owned the Bundesliga. So this is kind of how it breaks down in soccer, at least. So Topps owns the Bundesliga exclusive licensing, and then Panini owns the EPL exclusive licensing. And I think going forward, we're probably going to see more of these leagues sign exclusive licensing deals with these card companies. And I think it would be kind of crazy if Upper Deck got into the mix. I don't know if that's something they would want to do soccer. But with Goodwin Champions, I think that may be something that would be interesting. But the Topps own the Bundesliga exclusive licensing. Now, I think there is some sort of stipulation that if it's a Champions League product, that either of the companies can come out with a product. Because like in Topps Chrome Champions League, there are Premier League teams. Like, there are Pulisic cards, there are Mo Salah cards, there are other players that are in the Premier League that are in this Topps Champions League product. So I think there is some sort of stipulation that if it's a Champions League product, you can kind of come out with anything. But the Bundesliga, you hadn't really seen many Bundesliga cards in any Panini releases. Now, this one, obviously, Erling Haaland is on Dortmund, so that obviously changes things a little bit. And they included him as a Dortmund player in this. So I think it kind of gets into an interesting realm where, you know, I'm not sure. I think Panini owns the World Cup FIFA type of licensing there. So I think if we're seeing any type of world product, like a national team or a World Cup or a Euros product, that's going to come out through Panini. And I think that will be interesting to see how they treat the rookie card logos there. And this is kind of where I almost get into the point where the question comes, should there even be a rookie card logo in soccer? Because, you know, we've seen that these companies like Topps and Panini, they kind of use the rookie card logo as freely and however they sort of want to. So I'm interested to see what other people have to say of whether they think there should be rookie card logos on these products. And then even going into like the World Cup or the Euros, like, are they going to include the rookie card logos on that? And how are they going to determine, like, are they going to say Erling Haaland's national team qualified for the World Cup, but I think they're going to be in Euros, I'm pretty sure. Like, are they going to put a rookie card logo on that? Or, like, with Mason Greenwood, like, are they going to put a rookie card logo on that card, the Prism card, because it's maybe their first World Cup? I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Panini and how Topps kind of approach this in the future, but that's kind of what has happened over the past few months when it comes to the rookie card logo and what's going on with soccer.